Lions, Managing Director Jackson Lucas, thanks for coming on this inaugural series within our Jackson Lucas podcast series.
I appreciate the invite and looking forward to, you know, discussing and introducing myself to the marketplace here.
We're so excited to have you on, Tripp.
I appreciate it. Me as well.
I feel like you've been with us for years, but it hasn't been that long. How's it going at Jackson Lucas?
Honestly, it's been fantastic. Just the access to resources, the national presence, and really the people. I mean, I think it's a very motivated, hungry group of individuals, and I've been very impressed with the work product thus far. So looking forward to many more to come.
I'm so happy to hear that. I feel like our culture is just so strong, and that is my favorite thing about the firm. So,
and you've known Lisa for a long time, so.
I have had the fortune of knowing her and always been a fan, so it's great that we've reunited and just taken the market by storm.
That is absolutely reciprocal, Tripp.
So you're a New York Tripp. Tell us about your background. How did you end up here with us today?
Yeah, I actually have a pretty interesting pathway to where we plan today. You know, I graduated from Gettysburg College, history major, so definitely couldn't enter the real estate market the analytical route. And so sales brokerage was my entrance. I started out at a firm called Eastern Consolidated. I just imagine, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, trading floor, phone desk. You know, don't even think about a draw or money and go figure it out. Spent 3 years there, got lucky, did well, and then took my talents over to Ackman Ziff to help them build their sales team out. Really enjoyed working with Simon and the team there. Probably some of the smartest finance guys I've seen in the business. And wanted to, you know, kind of get on the grounds in the capital market world. And that's when I joined a firm called Iron Hound Management. It's led by a guy named Rob Verone. He was the previous head of Wachovia, head of the recession, and really helped him with business development, client engagement. I'm not on the analytical side, but, you know, back of the napkin is my cup of tea, and did quite well there up until COVID when a lot of my deals dried up. I couldn't help him on the workout front. And so that's when I kind of picked my head up and went to the founder of a boutique search consulting firm and was going to inquire about who I should be talking with, who's hiring, and some opportunities. And that's when I was broached with the question of, you know, we actually need someone that's worked in real estate to work here. And that's how I found my way into the search business and have been doing that ever since. So it's just been a shift from investment sales and capital markets to human capital, and really enjoyed it's got a lot of alignment, and it's worked out well for me thus far.
You know, Tripp, my favorite expression is the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I feel like that 100% applies to you. I mean, you are there early, late. I sometimes think you sleep in that office.
Yeah, it doesn't help me at home, but I think real estate is one of those businesses. And I think we see it in our assignments and what our clients want of, you know, I think being in collaboration, being around your colleagues and ideas and just activity overall is always better in person. And I'll probably be reamed for this online, but I'm just an office individual on that front.
I love it. So let's move on to some topics. We want to talk about the real estate market here. You're speaking to candidates and clients every day. You have a long history in real estate. So let's talk about some common trends.
What continues to be something that has been a focus over the last few years has, you know, you're still seeing a lot of activity on the privately held family office side where these firms are, you know, have been fairly archaic historically and are now looking to really either institutionalize their business or bring just more horsepower, just given the sophistication of our market. So you really are seeing a flight to quality on that front. And you're also seeing just those kind of groups really meeting the candidates' expectations in terms of packages, opportunity, long-term runway. And so you're seeing a flight from institutional players to those firms, and that continues. And I don't see that slowing down in the near term, but you know, that's somewhere where we, I think, really thrive is just understanding the nuances to those dynamics, those cultures, and what's actually going to work, because, you know, it's you can't always throw a Brookfield or a related individual into a family office. And it does take some nuance. And I think that's where we are very successful in.
And I love that you work nationally, but I know lately you've been doing a few things in Florida. How's the market there?
I had not prior done too much in Florida, but over the last handful, probably this year, I've done quite a bit at the senior level and the mid-level junior. What has been a surprise is not only the flight of firms going down there for numerous amount of reasons, just the, honestly, this challenge in the market for talent. And I can explain, you know, I think what a lot of people that have moved down there have missed is, yes, there's a lot of tax benefits, quality of life, and activity, but the existing local markets, I mean, Miami's fairly mature or has gotten there over the last decade, but especially in the central or some of those coastal areas, there is not a considerable amount of bench, you know, talent on the bench there. And I think what clients have, it's been a challenge educating and bringing them to this reality of, you know, you have to think about some unique strategies and ways to attract those individuals, whether it's relocating them from New York or other mature markets, extending their comp expectations to meet and attract those individuals, and having patience in an assignment, I think is the biggest of finding the right individual. So I would just give a warning to clients that are in Florida or the Florida market, or, you know, they probably know what I'm discussing, just to, you know, have those thoughts. And we'll be releasing a piece shortly or on Monday that really outlines some of the facts and figures behind it, as well as just some guidance if you're looking for qualified talent in the Florida market.
As someone who's been doing this for a while, like it has gotten a little better. Like I remember, I don't know if Alicia, you remember like trying to recruit people down to Miami years ago when like we need someone from New York with that New York hustle, and then they would pay them like a half as much. And like, so it has creeped up somewhat, but I have the same thing with San Francisco. When I moved to the Bay Area, they were like, we need somebody from New York, but they're paying. And the funny thing with San Francisco is like, it was like more expensive to live here. And they're like, they're paying less, but they want to, but they're charging more in rent. So New York does pay the highest. I mean, you're in the office generally more. You kind of work harder, quote unquote.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But
I think I have the same thing, right? They all want to hire the New York talent who is hardworking, has that kind of culture of 24/7. But once they get down to Florida, instead of them bringing that culture to the firm,
right,
I feel like you're like, well, I could go to the beach at 6 o'clock. Okay, great. Bye.
Culture is definitely much. I mean, that's what I thought when I got to the Bay Area. I was like, I'm taking over this place. Like, I'm walking faster, talking faster, working harder. And I did for a while. Everyone's leaving at 5. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I work a lot, but it's like I'm not in the office as much as I used to be. And it's like it is a different pace. And it's like it's hard to fight against that for a long time because it's like fighting against a big wave, you know.
Yeah, that is probably the most challenging element of our screening and vetting is just someone that has that, you know, internal mindset. And like I said, on that front, I would just tell our clients, if you're listening, please just stressing patience. Yeah, we always are successful in our assignments, but sometimes it just takes longer than others.
So, you know, there's a cycle, there's a real estate cycle, but there's also a hiring cycle if you're a recruiter, and it goes like asset management, capital, you know, capital markets, capital raising, and then acquisitions. And now we're seeing more acquisitions folks, but we're also getting a lot of inquiries more on the development side. Can you tell us what's happening in that world?
Yeah, you know, since COVID, the major food groups or where we've seen the most activity is either on the back office financial accounting side or in the asset management front, just, you know, because if you can't buy, you have to squeeze what you have. We've seen over the last, I would say starting this year, when the debt market started creeping back up, development has started to get the attention of a handful of sponsors that were prepared and are capitalized for an environment like this. And it's not, honestly, New York has been challenging just given the environment, but we're seeing opportunities in Denver, South Florida, Texas has been a hotbed, and in LA, but LA is challenging to just California to build in. But we are seeing at the senior level, as well as the mid and junior level across the board in search of qualified talent. And honestly, the last 2 months is the first time I've heard the word condos said out loud
from
notable clients. It's exciting. It's great to see the movement on that front. And I think we do really great work in that space, just given our background and experience.
Do you have any exciting stories to share with us?
In this world, there are so many exciting stories, but you know, probably one that comes to mind was, you know, what has been surprising is I had an assignment that was started earlier this year. The first candidate I sent over, I really had a feeling that he was spot on, and there's nothing worse in our business than sending the first candidate being the one, as we all know, but ended up going through a 2-3 month process and probably about 25 candidates, and got the call last week that the person they're moving forward with was the first candidate. And so that was a nice surprise, but I got to give myself kudos. Keeping someone warm for 3 months was a challenge, as we all know, but he was a good sport and glad that we've gone to official offer on that front. So I don't want to say any more details on that front, but they happen regularly, and candidates out there, I would say, don't be afraid to pick your head up right now, given the time of the year, as stuff's popping up and you'd be surprised on what's going on and what's available to you.
And I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls on compensation this time of year, right? That seems to be the topic.
Yeah, it's always one that candidates are always looking for the higher end of the scale, and clients are trying to swallow, you know, just digest where things are going. But in terms of overall comp, where I would say is, you know, there might be still some residual decline on bonuses this year. We've heard of some groups that are still, you know, not covering, as you know, Lisa, in your conversations. But I would say that we're starting to finally see, I think, some growth on that front. And I think, you know, I would say if you wanted to be technical, probably a 5%, maybe 10%. You're not getting the 2022 kind of gravy to get you there, but it's not the flat to downwards cycle that we saw last year and the year before. So I think it's competitive, especially in the large markets. Across the board, I would say a 5% to 10% gain would be reasonable in most sectors.
And so, yeah, just a plug, we do have a compensation services with Jackson Lucas. So reach out if you want to get into more detail. I mean, that's a great way to retain your employees, make sure they're being paid correctly. So we can help you determine how they're being paid in the market.
Yeah. And just on top of that, Chris, I would tell you, I've been having my first experiences with our M Human Capital Analytics group, and it's remarkable on what they're able to provide, not only the market breakdowns, but your competitors, the structures they have, the amount of detail that we are able to provide clients now, just as either an ad hoc or a additional service. I would employ anyone out there that's running a group or a platform to look into them, and you'd be very impressed with the results and what they can deliver.
Well, Tripp, it's been an amazing journey on this episode.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we got to our destination using your triptych.
Hey, we'll start a thread there. I like what we're getting on, and looking forward to talking more on the market and with you guys on what you're saying.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Resume, a Jackson Lucas podcast, where we take a deep dive into the career journeys of some of the top minds in real estate and equip you with the knowledge to move forward in your path towards the success you've envisioned. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Beyond the Resume. Be grateful for your support. All episodes of Beyond the Resume are brought to you by Jackson Lucas, building inclusive and diverse businesses through talent acquisition. Visit us at jacksonlucas.com.